This is Shimon Newbort with Hilchos Eiruvin, Chapter 1. This chapter contains 22 halachas. Before we begin the chapter itself, let us give a brief introduction to the laws of the Eiruv. In the olden days, cities were arranged in such a way that private homes did not ordinarily open up onto the public streets. The public streets had alleyways which opened to the public street. These alleyways were for the use of the people whose homes were on the alley. The homes themselves were also not opening directly to the alleyway. The homes were all situated in courtyards, and the courtyards opened to the alleyways. Each courtyard generally had more than one home in it, and each alleyway generally had more than one courtyard in it. In chapter 14 of Hilchos Shabbos, we discussed in detail the laws of the four domains as they apply to the laws of carrying on Shabbos. And we learned that in the public domain, it is forbidden by Torah law to carry 4 cubits, and it is also forbidden to carry between the public domain and a private domain. In the Carmelis, it's forbidden by rabbinical law to carry 4 cubits and forbidden to carry between the private domain and the Carmelis. As we learned, the terms public domain and private domain do not apply to the ownership of the property, but they apply to the structure of the property. Any property that is surrounded by partitions or is raised up high or is lowered down into a depression under certain conditions is a private domain, and it is permitted to carry everywhere in such a private domain. The alleyways at the place where they open into the public domain require either an upright or a horizontal placed at the entrance to the alleyway, as we discussed in detail in chapter 17 of Hilchos Shabbos, in order to remind people that they may not carry from there into the public domain. In this chapter, in chapter 1, we will discuss the requirements of Eiruvin. That is, certain places which technically are private domains according to the laws of Shabbos, it is nevertheless forbidden to carry there as if they were public domains or a Carmelis, in order that people should not make a mistake and carry in the public domain, thinking that this is a public domain, and if it's permitted to carry here, it's permitted to carry in the public streets. The Rambam begins, Hilchos Eiruvin, the laws of Eiruvin, mitzvah asei achas, there is one positive mitzvah here, v'hi midivrei seifrim, and this mitzvah is not in original Torah law, this mitzvah was given by rabbinical decree, v'eina min haminyan, and therefore it is not counted in the number of 613 mitzvahs, or 248 positive mitzvahs. U'bir mitzvah zu b'prakim eilu, the details of this mitzvah are given in the following chapters. Perek Rishon, chapter 1. In this chapter we will discuss the requirement for making an Eiruv in order to permit carrying in certain places, and the procedure for making this Eiruv. Halacha Aleph, Chotzer sheyesh bo shcheinim harbe, a courtyard in which there are dwelling a number of neighbors, separate individual people, kol echad mehem bevayis la'atzmai, and each one of them lives in his own individual house, his private home, din toirahu, according to the Torah law, sheyiu kulam metorim letaltil b'chol hachotzer, all of these people who live here in this courtyard should be permitted to carry everywhere within the courtyard, since the courtyard is surrounded by walls and the courtyard is technically a private domain, umibotim lechotzer umichotzer lebotim, and they should be able to carry between the private homes and the courtyard, or from the courtyard to the private homes. Mipnei shekol hechotzer reshus hayochid achas, since the entire courtyard constitutes one unit, one private domain. Umuta letaltel bekula. It should be permitted to carry everywhere in such a private domain. Vechein hadin b'mavui, and the same law should apply to an alleyway, sheyesh lelechi yekeira, which has an upright or horizontal there at the entrance, as we learned in detail in chapter 17 of Hilchos Shabbos, sheyu kol b'nei ha-mavui. The law ought to be that all the people who live in this alleyway, mutarim letaltel bechuloi, should be permitted to carry everywhere in the alley, umechatzeres lamavui, and between their individual courtyards and the alleyway, umimavui lechatzeres, or between the alleyway and the courtyards, shekol hamavui rishus hayochitu, because the entire alleyway, since it is surrounded by walls on three sides, and it has an upright or a horizontal on the fourth side, or even if it has walls only on two sides, it is less than 16 cubits wide, and it is not a public domain, it is all one private domain. V'chein hadin b'medina, and the same law applies to a whole city, shehi mukefes choyma, if the city is surrounded by a wall, gvoya asorat tvachim, 10 handbreadths high, sheyesh la dalsos, and this wall has doors in all the gates, v'ninoles balayla, it has doors which are locked at night. Shekulam Rishus Hayochiti, all the streets, even the public streets, the open, wide public streets of such a city, all constitute one private domain. Zehu Din Torah, all this is according to the original Torah law, that wherever it's a private domain, no matter what sort of ownership we have here, it should be permitted to carry. Halacha Beis, Avol Midivrei Sofrim, but by rabbinical decree, also L'Shcheinim L'Taltel B'Shus Hayochid, neighbors who have a common share in some such private domain may not carry in such a place. Sheyesh B'Chaluka B'Diyorim, if this domain, even though it's technically a private domain, has separate dwelling places, they may not carry their ad she'arvu, unless they make an eruv. Kol hashcheinim kulam may erev Shabbos. All the neighbors here who have a joint interest in this property must make an eruv. They must join themselves together before Shabbos. Echod Chotzer, ve'echod Movi, ve'echod Hamedina. This same requirement for an Erev applies equally to a courtyard in which people have separate private homes, or to an alleyway that has separate courtyards on it, ve'echod Hamedina, or to a whole city that has separate alleyways in it. The requirement for making an Erev in such places was decreed by Shloimei HaMelech, by King Shloimei and his Bezdin. Halacha Gimel, v'chein yosh be'ohalim, the same thing applies not in a city, but if we have people who dwell in tents, or sukkis, or people who dwell in booths, or machane, or an encampment, shehikifua mechitza, if they surrounded it by a partition, and they converted the area around into a private domain, ein metaltele meyoyel le'oyel, they nevertheless may not carry from one tent into another through the commonly enclosed area, ad she'arvu kulam, unless all of them make an eruv together. This is when it's a permanent type thing. That is, they are intending to dwell there for a longer period of time. Aval shayara, but a caravan that is traveling through the desert, and they stopped for Shabbos and surrounded themselves by partitions and put up tents there. Sheikifu amechitzah, if they put partitions around, ein tzrichim la'orev, they do not have to make an eruv here. They may carry from one tent to another below Eruv without making an Eruv. Because they are all anyway joined. Because the fact that each one is spending the Shabbos in his own private tent, but that's not really a separate private dwelling place for him, since all this is temporary, and after Shabbos the whole thing will be dismantled and they will move on. Halacha Daled, For what reason did Shlomo and his Beis Din institute this requirement for an Eruv in order to permit carrying in a place which is in fact a private domain by Torah law and where it ought to be permitted to carry in any case? Kedei shelo yitu ha'am, to prevent people from making a mistake. Ve'yoyimru, people might say, k'shem shemuta lohoitzi min ha'chatzeres l'rchoivis ha'medina, just as it is permitted to carry from the courtyards out into the public streets of the city, Ushvokeho, and to its marketplaces, Ulahachnis Mehem Lachatzeiros, or to carry in from the public streets into the courtyards. So they will say that similarly it is permitted to carry from the city out into the field, or to carry in from the fields into the city. Why will they think so? Because they will think that these marketplaces and public streets, since they are common areas where all the people of the city use them, so they are public property, just like the fields and the deserts outside the city. And they will think that shahachatzedes bilvad heim rishus hayochid, only the courtyards which are made for the people who live in that courtyard and others do not come in, they're only the courtyards constitute a private domain. And since they see that they carry from the courtyard, which they take to be a private domain, into the public streets and marketplaces, which they understand to be a public domain, they are not aware that it became a private domain only because of the walls around the city. So they see that they carry from what is, to their understanding, private property out into what they understand to be public property. So they will imagine that in all cases, carrying out from private domain to a public domain is not a malacha, and that it is permitted to carry out or to carry in from a private domain to a public domain. Halocha hei lefichoch tikein, and therefore Shlomo instituted shekol rishus hayochid, that any place which is technically a private domain shateicholik b'diyoyrim, but it is in turn separated into private dwellings, v'yoychaz kol echod v'echod barishus la'atzmai, and each individual has his own private territory in there, v'yishoyer mimena mokim b'rishus kulam, and there remains beside the private territory that each individual has some common area where all of them are joined, v'yad kulam shavaboy, and all of them use it collectively, kigoin chotzel abotim, for example, the courtyard to the houses, each person has his own private house, and besides which there's the common area in the courtyard that all of them use. So Shlomo instituted the law that we should imagine that place where all of them are using in common, we should take it to be a public domain. And we should take only that place where each one of the neighbors has for his own individual private dwelling, only that should be considered a private domain where it's permitted to carry. And therefore it should become forbidden to carry out from his individual territory into the common area where all of them are using it, just as it is forbidden to carry from the private domain out into a public domain. So what should you do? Each individual should use and carry only in that private territory that he has for himself, bilvad, only in that place, unless all of them make an Erev and join themselves together. Otherwise, it is forbidden to carry in the common area, even though technically the whole place is a private domain. Now, what is this Eruv that they have to make in order to permit them to carry in the common area? That means all of them joined together with one item of food, which is set aside from before Shabbos. Setting aside this item of food, this symbolically states, Shekulanu mu'uravim, we are all joined together, ve'oichel echad lechulanu, we are all eating the same food, ve'ein kol echad mimenu choylik rishus mechaveiroi, and just as we are joining in the same food, which people ordinarily eat only privately, so also we are joining in common all of our property, and nobody is keeping his own private territory. We are symbolically declaring that just as all of us have a common usage in this place that all of us are using, that is the courtyard, so also all of us have common ownership over each private individual dwelling, and we are all one common territory. Over Masei Hazeh, and since they made this symbolic declaration of demonstrating that they are all one territory and not divided into separate private dwellings, Lo Yavoyu Litois, they will remember this and they will not come to make a mistake. Uladami said they will not imagine Shemuta Loitzi Lachnis that it's permitted to carry out or to carry in Meshusayoch Lishusarabim from the private domain till to the public domain. Since in what is actually the public domain, they did not make an Eruv. This Eruv, if it is made by people who live in a courtyard, the private homes of the courtyard make the Eruv one with another, who are nikra Eruv Chatzeres. The technical name for this is Eruv Chatzeres, the Eruv of the courtyard. However, the Eruv that is made by the inhabitants of an alleyway, one with another, or the people, all of the inhabitants of a whole city, if the city is surrounded by walls, such an Eruv is not called Eruv, a joining. It is called the Shituf, the partnership. An Eruv that is made in the courtyard to enable the people who have the private homes to carry in the courtyard can only be made with a whole loaf of bread. Afilu kikar mafisa'o, even if they took a loaf of bread that was a large loaf of bread baked out of a whole sa'o of flour, v'hiprusa, and they broke it into pieces, we have very large pieces here, nevertheless, ein ma'arvim ba, since it's broken, it's not a whole loaf, you cannot make an eruv with it. Hoysa shleima, if however it's a whole loaf, v'hik iser, even only the size of an iser, a very small loaf, ma'arvim ba, since it's whole, you can make an eruv with it. Uchshem shema Arvin bepastvur, and just as we can make such an eruv with a bread baked out of grain flour, kach ma'arvin bepas oiriz, so also you can make an eruv with bread baked out of rice flour, uvepas adoshim, or bread baked out of ground up lentils, avaloi bepas dechan. But you cannot use bread baked out of millet flour because that is not considered flour. V'shituf, and the shituf, that is the eruv made in the alleyway or in a whole city, bein bepas bein b'sharochlim, that can be made with bread or with any other food. B'chol oichel mishtatvim, and this shituf that can be made with food, can be made with any kind of food, chutz min amayim b'fnei atzmam, other than water by itself, which cannot be used, oy melech b'fnei atzmam, or plain salt cannot be used. Similarly, mushrooms or truffles, one cannot make a shituf with them because they are not considered food. Now we mentioned salt and we mentioned water. They cannot be used by themselves for a shituf, but eidav mayim imelach. But if one made a solution by mixing salt with water, nasa kemurius, this is considered just like the juice of salted fish, which is used for dipping bread in, or mishtatvim, and we can make a shituf with such a solution. Halachatas. says, the food that you make a shituf with, how much food do you need? You need a sufficient amount of food so that there is the bulk of a fig for each one of the inhabitants of the alleyway or of the city. But this requirement only applies if there are 18 inhabitants or fewer. But if there are more than 18, then you need the maximum of 18 figs, that is the amount of 2 meals, that's 18 figs, that is the same size as 6 medium-sized eggs. And even if the people who are joining in with this shituf number in the thousands or tens of thousands, nevertheless, they need not have more than 18. This amount of 2 meals is enough for all of them. All foods that are generally eaten by themselves, they're eaten, they themselves constitute a food, kigoin pas, like bread, umine dogon, or kinds of cooked cereals, ubosachai, or raw meat, im nishtatfu boy, if they made a shituf for the alleyway with such food, shiurei mezoin shtei sudas, then the amount that they need is the amount for 2 meals, that is the size of 18 figs. V'chol shehu lifton. However, all foods that are not eaten by themselves, but are eaten in a meal together with bread, the custom of the people here is that they eat such foods only together with bread, like boiled wine, roasted meat, vinegar, salted fish juice, olives, and full-grown onions, shi'uroi kidei lechil by shtei sudas. Then you need not a full amount of 2 meals, that is 18 figs, but you need an amount which, together with the bread that you would eat with it, would be the amount of 18 figs. Halach Yudalef, nitshtatfu b'yayin chai. Now, how much does this amount require? If they are joining together with raw wine, undiluted wine, shiurei shtei reviyos l'kulam, then the amount that they need is 2 quarter logs for all the people together. We will define these measurements in the next halacha. V'chein b'sheichar, and the same rule applies to beer shtei reviyos, 2 quarter logs. Beim shtayim, if we're making it with eggs, we need 2. Mishtatfim b'hem v'afilu heim chayis, and you can make a shituf with eggs even if they are raw eggs, because some people eat raw eggs. V'rimoinim, if you're using a pomegranate, shnayim, you need 2 of them. Esrig, if you make it with an esrig, echod, 1 esrig. Chamisha egoizim, 5 walnuts. Some people say that this is a misprint and it should say 10 walnuts. Chamisha farsikim, 5 peaches, litra shel yerek, a litra of vegetables, bein chai, bein sholuk, either raw or cooked, v'imhoya boshel veloy boshel. However, if it is neither raw nor fully boiled, but it's only partially boiled, ein ma'arvim boy, you cannot make an eruv with it. Actually, a shituf you cannot make with it. Lefisha ein roi lachila, because such food is not really edible. People don't ordinarily eat half-cooked vegetables. Uchla tavlin, some sort of seasoning material, you need an uchla of it. Kav temarim, dates, you need a kav gregoris. Figs, you need a kav. Moned velo, if you're using pressed dates, pressed figs, that is, you need a mona. Kav tapuchin, apples, you need a kav. Kshus, baby squash or cucumbers. Kimaloi hayad, you need a handful. Pulim lachim, fresh peas. Kimaloi hayad, a handful. Chozin, litra. This is some sort of a green plant. You need a litra of it. V'hatardin. Tardin is a root vegetable, something like a beet or turnip. Harein b'chlal hayerek. These are considered green vegetables. U'ma'arvin b'hem. And you can make an eruv with it. Ali b'tzolim. The leaves of the onion plant. Ein ma'arvin b'hem. You cannot make an eruv with it because these are not usually used as food. Elohim hivtzilu. However, if they have begun to form scallions, v'nasa oirech kol olam mehem zeres, and the leaves have lengthened out so that they are now a span in length, that is two hand breadths, then it's all right. Aval pachas mikan eino eichel, but if it has not grown to this extent yet, such leaves are not food. V'chol eilu hadvarim ha'amurim kilifta mehem. All the items that we mentioned in this halacha are foods that are ordinarily eaten in a meal with bread. V'lefichach nosnu b'em shiurim eilu. And therefore they gave these individual quantities for them. But foods that are eaten by themselves, you need the amount of 18 figs in all cases. And similar amounts will apply to similar foods. And if you combine different foods, they can all be combined to make up the minimum quantity for such an eruv. Halacha yud beis litra hamura b'chol mokim. Now we will define the quantities that we used in the previous halacha. Wherever we say litra, meloi shtei revius. That means a volume twice a revius. A revius is a quarter log. V'uchla, when we say uchla chatzi revius, we mean half of a quarter log. U'mono hamura b'chol mokim. Wherever we say mona, meyo dinar. That means the weight of 100 dinars. V'ha dinar, how much is a dinar? Sheish moyin, it's 6 moyin. V'ha moa, how much is the moa? Mishkal sheish esri soiris, it's a weight of 16 barley corns. V'ha sela, wherever we say sela, arbo dinrim, we mean 4 dinars. V'ha revius, wherever we say a quarter of a loig. Machzekes min amayim oy min hayayin, that means a volume of water or wine whose weight would be mishkal shiva osar dinrim v'chatzi dinar bekeruv. Its weight would be approximately 17.5 dinars. Nimtza halitra, therefore it turns out by simple arithmetic that the litra is mishkal chamisho shleishim dinar, is twice the revius, that is a weight of 35 dinars. V'ha'uchla, and an uchla which is half of a revius is mishkal tisha dinar pachas revia. It's a weight of 8.75 dinars. Haloch yud gimel sa'ah amura b'chol makim. Wherever we say sa'ah, sheishes kabim. That's 6 kabin. V'hakav arba lugim, and a kav is 4 lugim. And v'haloig, and a loig is arba revius, 4 quarter loigs. Kvar b'yarnu midas revius u'mishkola. And we've already stated in the previous halacha how big and a revius is and how much it weighs. V'chol ha'shiurim sh'odam tzarech, v'eilu ha'shiurim sh'odam tzarech liskar isam tamid. And these are the quantities which people should remember their definition always, because we will use them many times over in many different halachas. Halacha yudalid, oichel shu muter ba'achila, food that is permissible to be eaten, afal pishahu osa lazeh ha'ma'ariv, even though this individual who's making the eruv may not eat it. Harezi ma'ariv boyu mishtatif boy, nevertheless he can make an eruv or a shituf with this food. Keitzad, for example, mishtatif ha'nozir b'yayin, a nozir who's forbidden to drink wine may nevertheless make a shituf with wine. The Israel betruma, a non-kohen who is forbidden to eat truma may make a shituf with truma. V'chein hanoide me'ichel zeh, similarly anyone who makes a vow to forbid himself this particular food, or shenishba shelo yoichlenu, or he made an oath, he swore that he will not eat it, ma'ariv boy u'mishtatif boy, nevertheless he can make an erev or a shituf with the food, shemeini roi lazeh, because even though this person cannot eat it, harei roi lacher, but it's nevertheless food and others can eat it. Halocha tezvov, but a thing that is forbidden to everyone, kigoin tevel, for example, food from which the truma has not yet been removed, afilu tevel shel divrei seferim, even food that requires the removal of the truma only by rabbinical decree, v'chein maser rishon sheloi notra trumosik kehoigen, or Meiser Rishon, the Meiser that is removed to be given to the Levium, and it's removed from produce from which they had not first removed the Truma, v'chein Meiser Sheini v'hegdish lo'inivdu kehalocha, similarly Meiser Sheini, which may be eaten only in Yerushalayim, or Hegdish, which is the property of the Beis HaMikdash, Shalei Nivdu Kalocha, but they may be redeemed and then used for common use outside of Yerushalayim, but they were redeemed for money, but not according to the requirements of the law. We will learn these requirements in Hilchus Erchen V'Charomin and in Hilchus Maisa Sheini. Ein Ma'arvim Mushtafa Bem, since these foods may not be eaten, even though it's only by a rabbinical technicality sometimes that they may not be eaten, nevertheless, we may not make an Erev or Shituf with them. Aval Ma'arvim Mushtafim B'Demai, however, food which is Demai, that is, it was purchased from an Amhoritz, and we suspect maybe he did not remove the Miser, and therefore we have to remove the Miser only by rabbinical decree. This is called Demai. We may make an Erev or Shituf with Demai, because the rabbinical decree does not apply to the poor people, and since poor people may eat it without removing the Miser, therefore it is considered food, and you can make an Erev or Shituf with it. And the Maiser Rishon from which Truma has been removed, or Maiser Sheni v'Hegdish Niftu, and Maiser Sheni and consecrated property that have been redeemed properly, even though when he redeemed it only for its value and did not add the extra fifth that he has to add, nevertheless, this is considered redeemed, because the extra fifth that he has to add does not withhold the validity of the redemption. In Yerushalayim itself, we can make an Erev with Maiser Sheni, because there in Yerushalayim it can be eaten. But outside Yerushalayim we cannot make an Eruv with Maiser Sheni. Now what is the procedure for making the Eruv in a courtyards? In a courtyard we learned that you have to take bread. Goyvil chalo achas shlema. We take one whole loaf of bread. Mikol bayis ubayis, from each and every house. Umanichim hakil bikli echod, and all of it is put together in one container. Bebayis echod mibotei achotzer, in one of the houses there in the courtyard. Afilo beis hateven, and even if it's not a house where people are living, but it's a house where they're storing straw, or base a bokar, or it's a stable, or base a otzer, or some sort of a storage house. Nevertheless, they may leave the eruv there. Avle nosnu bebayis shar. However, if they put it into the small hut that's near the gate where the watchman stays, afilu beishar shel yochid, even if this hut of the watchman belongs to one of the private individuals, oibach sadra, in the courtyard, some of the houses are two-story houses, and from the upper story there is a balcony that sticks out for the use of the tenant of the upper story, and there are stairs leading down from that balcony to the courtyard, so the people who live upstairs use the balcony to get up and down from the courtyard. So that balcony is called a merpeses. Achsadra is the place in the courtyard that's covered by such a balcony. Or if it was put into a house that is smaller than arba amis al arba amis, then the minimum size of 4 cubits by 4 cubits, ainu eruv. This is not considered an eruv, since these places are not dwelling places. Ukeshemekabitzo eruv, and when the person collects all the food together for the eruv, mevorich, he makes a blessing, bruch to Hashem l'kinim al choylem, blessed is God, our God, the King of the world, Asher kicholim soisef, who has made us holy with his mitzvahs, v'tzivonu, he has commanded us, al mitzvahs eruv, on the mitzvah of making an eruv, oimer, and then he declares, be'eruv zeh, with this eruv yeimutal, it should be permitted, l'chol b'nei achotzer, to all people in this courtyard, lohoitzi ulahachnis, to carry out and to carry in, mibayis labayis, from one house to another, b'shabbos on Shabbos. V'yesh lakotan ligbayis eruv v'chatzeres, a child under bar mitzvah can also collect the bread for the eruv chatzeres. Bayis shemenicha by eruv, the house in which the eruv is placed, eini tzorach liten as apas, they do not have to contribute bread towards the eruv. since they have the basket of bread there to remind them. And if there's a certain house where they were accustomed always to put the Eruv, they should not change it to a different house, in order to preserve the peace here and not to cause strife and dissension. What is the procedure for making a shituf in the alleyway? He collects food the size of a fig from each and every person, or if there were more than 18 people, you can collect less than a fig from each person, so that in total we will have 18 figs. All of this is put into one container in one of the courtyards of this alleyway, or in one of the houses. And in this case, since it is placed in a courtyard, it can be placed even in the courtyard, which is a partially public place. Therefore, the place does not have to be a dwelling place. Even a small house that's less than 4 cubits by 4 cubits, or under the balconies, this is considered a valid shituf, but if it was put in the alleyway itself and not in one of the courtyards, it's not a shituf. If the container is put into the courtyard, not in a private dwelling, it has to be put not directly on the ground, but it has to be at least a hand breadth above the ground, so that everyone will see it and know that there is an eruv here. And he makes the same blessing, al mitzvahs eruv, v'oimer, and he declares b'zeh ashituv, with this shituv yamuta l'chol b'nei amovi, should be permitted to all the people of this alleyway l'hoitzu l'hachnis, to carry out, to carry in mechatzeres l'movi, from the courtyards to the alleyway b'shabbos on Shabbos. Halacha yudches, chol kvos eruv as ashituv, if the eruv or shituv was not put in one container but it was divided, afal pishu b'yis echad, even though the two containers are in one house, einay eruv, it's not an eruv. But if they filled up one container with the eruv, there's a little left over, and they put, and for that reason they put it into another container, mutter, that's permitted. Those who make a shituf in the alleyway, nevertheless, they have to make an eruv in the courtyards too, so that the children will not forget that there is a requirement for an eruv, because the children are not aware that a shituf was made in the alleyway, and therefore they may think that nothing was done here. And therefore, if they make the shituf in the alleyway by collecting bread from everyone, then that's good enough. Then they do not have to make a separate eruv in the courtyard, because the children know that the bread was collected and that there is an eruv here. If people were sitting together at a meal, the Kodesh Aleim Hayoim, they were sitting Friday in a meal and Shabbos arrived, Pashal Ashulchan, Seimchem Aleim, Mishum Eruvi Chatzeres, then the bread that is on the table is good enough for the Eruv Chatzeres, for the Eruv of the courtyard, Bimrotzu Lismech Aleim, Mishum Shituf, and if they want to use it for the Shituf, for the whole alleyway, Seimchem, that's good enough too, Afal Pishem Mesubim Bechatzer, even though they are sitting together in only one of the courtyards. Halochechov, Lokech Echad Memnechotze Pas Achas, if one of the people in the courtyard takes a loaf of bread, of Omar, and he said, he did not collect bread from everyone, but he said, Harezu L'chol B'nei Achotzer, this is the property of everyone in the courtyard, or he took food sufficient for two meals, he's declared this is the property for all the people in the alleyway, and he does not have to collect from each person individually, but he has to transfer ownership to the people by giving it to someone else. And he can do so, he can transfer ownership by giving it to his son or his daughter if they are over bar mitzvah, or his Jewish slave, or by his wife, but not his son or daughter who are under bar mitzvah, nor his non-Jewish slave or female slave, because they are considered like an extension of him, himself, and giving something to them does not transfer ownership. It's like he put it from one hand to another. And similarly, he can transfer it to him, to them by his female Jewish slave, Afal Pisha Hiktana, even though, as we will learn, Hilchas Avodim, she can only, such a female Jewish slave can only be under Bas Mitzvah, because since this is a rabbinical decree, a child can also receive it on behalf of others. He does not have to inform the other people in the courtyard or the alleyway that he's doing this, because he has done something that is to their benefit. He made an eder for them. This is a benefit to them. And the law is that we can do something that benefits a person even if he's not here and doesn't know about it. You can only make an erev or a shittif not on Shabbos. It can only be done Friday when it's still day. You can make an erev for the courtyard or a shittif for the alleyways even with twilight, even though it's a period of doubt. It may be the day before Shabbos or it may be the night when it's already Shabbos. Since this is a rabbinical requirement, we can do it even then. However, in all cases, the food of the Erev or Shittuf must still be in existence, and it must be in a condition where it's possible to eat it, the entire twilight period. And therefore, if Nafal Alav Gal, if a wall collapsed on it, a pile of rubble collapsed, the ovad, or it was lost, or nisraf, or it was burned up, or shehoya truma v'nitmeis, or it was truma and it became tomei and forbidden to be eaten, miboyoyim Friday while it's still day, and therefore it was not available to eat at twilight, eidei eruv, it is not an eruv, mishachashecha, but if any of these things happened once it got dark, hareza eruv, then it is a valid eruv, because once it's dark, the eruv is there. And no matter what happens to the food, the eruv still remains in effect. However, if there's a doubt as to whether it's day or night, then it is considered a valid eruv, shesofik eruv kosher, because in all cases of doubt concerning an eruv, we say the eruv is valid. Also the eruv or shittuf b'migdol. If he placed the food of the Erev or Shittuf into a chest, and he locked it, and he lost the key before it gets dark, so that now the food physically is in existence, but it's locked in a chest, he can't eat it. Then the law is, if he cannot remove the food of the Erev from this chest without the key, without doing some sort of a malacha, in order to break into the chest, that's the only way he could get to the food at twilight. Then it is considered as if the Erev had been destroyed, even though physically the Erev is in existence, and therefore it's not a valid Erev. Because nevertheless, even though the Erev is in existence, he has no way of eating it without doing a malacha. Hifrish trumas maiseroi truma gedela. If someone took tevel and he removed the meiser or the truma from it, the hisna aleh, and he made a stipulation with it, shalaitia truma chetechshach, that even though he is physically removing it now, it is not declared to be truma until it gets dark. In Hilchis Tumas Eichlim, we will discuss why a person would do such a thing. Nevertheless, ein marvin, but you cannot make an eruv with such food, shadayin hi tevel kolbin ashma, because the entire twilight period, the truma has not yet been come truma, and therefore the food is still tevel and forbidden. And the Erev requires that there be a meal that can still be eaten, and the meal must be edible yet Friday while it's daytime. And since here at that time it is still tevel, it's not edible, it is not a valid Erev. Thank you for listening. Please listen tomorrow for chapter 2.